Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 to 27, the calling of discipleship. Verse 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." That passage is Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. Consider for a moment that first verse. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If you claim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you must fulfill three prerequisites to follow him. If you haven't turned there already, turn to Matthew chapter 8, our text for this session, and consider these three prerequisites. First of all, you must count the cost. Verses 18 to 20. And when Jesus, of chapter 8, and when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." A certain scribe. This one broke from the other scribes. He was willing to follow Jesus. "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." But had he counted the cost? Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus Christ gave up the glory of heaven to come to earth to save mankind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." The cost of following Jesus Christ includes, among many other things, suffering and inconvenience. Have you counted the cost of following Jesus wherever he goes? Second, you must release the world. Verses 21 and 22. Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead." Another of his disciples, apparently this one was already following, but he was hanging close to home. "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus was getting ready to take the ministry on the road, and it was time to leave home with him. This does not mean the disciple's father was dead. This was a common figure of speech. It basically could be translated, "Let me stay here near my home until I receive my inheritance, then I'll catch up with you." We can get wrapped up in the stuff of this world and resist God's calling. You will never be ready. There's always one more thing to do. Someone said, life is what happens when you're waiting for life to happen. Jesus' response, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Let the world, the spiritually dead, take care of its own stuff. Have you released the world to follow Jesus? Third, you must trust the Lord. Verse 23. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? It says, suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. The Sea of Galilee is 690 feet below sea level. Mount Hermon to the north is 9,200 feet above sea level. From May to about October, strong winds blow through the valleys and come down across the sea. And violent and sudden storms just come up from complete calm. How did the disciples handle the situation? They had just seen Jesus' power as he healed. But they freaked. Lord, save us, we're perishing. And Jesus was right there. These disciples of the Lord were out of their comfort zone. No dry ground beneath them. Some of them were fishermen. The storm had to be bad to cause them to freak out. But you see, there was no safer place to be in that storm than with the Lord Jesus Christ. If he leads you there, if he sends you there, wherever there is the most secure place on the planet Earth. And why is that? He controls it all. Jesus is Lord over spiritual life and death. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's our place. The wages of sin is death. That's the punishment for where we are. The free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. Because God loves us, Jesus Christ went to the cross. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with our mouth, confession is made. With our hearts, we believe unto righteousness. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's Lord. Jesus is Lord over spiritual life and death. He controls everything. Jesus has power over physical life. We saw him heal the sick. Jesus has power over the spiritual realm, commanding demons to leave. Jesus certainly has power over the natural realm that he himself made. He created it. Well, let me ask you, have you put your trust in Jesus to accept his ministry calling? Have you? You think about that and answer that. And you have a great day.